Welcome to Lead, Empower, Grow, a podcast featuring entrepreneurs who lead productive teams, empower their communities, and grow successful businesses of their own. Today's guest is a swerve from last week, a younger agent on the rise, Tuan Bui, a regional marketing director who's only been with us a few years. But already he's making a name for himself, and I wanted to get a perspective from a newer agent, one who might still be establishing their business. And Tuan and I had a great talk about the role of leaders in your upline and shaping and teaching, and how you learn how to teach from your teachers as you build your own team. We hear a lot about Tuan's story, and it was just great having a fresh perspective of someone so full of energy and great insight already. Let's get right to it. Here's my talk with Tuan. Thank you so much, Tuan, for being on the podcast. It is so great to see you. I can't wait to hear about your story. I usually just start with how FFS found you or you found FFS and what you were doing before. What was your job before? What's your story up till now?
Yeah, so prior to FFS, I was a college student. I went to Cal State Fullerton. Mm-hmm. I went to school for business.
Yeah, yeah.
But with a focus in marketing.
Okay, so you were ready. Yeah.
So I did that. I was in my first year, finished that my first year, mm-hmm. got maybe a third of the way through of my second year, mm-hmm. until I decided maybe this isn't for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was when, so I was already exposed to FFS prior to this. I was exposed to it prior to college, actually.
Yeah, before college even. Yeah.
But I never did anything with it because, you know, being 18 years old, thinking about insurance, you know, you don't do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. No one grows up thinking like, I want to be an insurance agent. I want to be a life insurance agent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all this, I know. You know? Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I guess I found it and then I found my way back to it.
Right. It was ready for you, at least when you were ready. Yeah. It makes sense. Yeah. At 18, we don't really have life insurance policies. And I'm also, even though I kind of knew what I was doing, it's like, I didn't really know what I was doing. You get into college and you're like, what is a job every day? What is that? What do you do? You know?
I didn't have any direction at all. I just knew like where I wanted to be, mm-hmm. but I didn't know how to get there.
Yeah.
So during my time in college, I remember this time when right before I left, took a leave, mm-hmm. it was because we had an assignment. Like this quarter assignment.
Yeah.
It was for us to practice our interviews to become the title of the class was How to Become a Proper Employee.
Yeah.
Right. So when I read that on the syllabus, I was like, I don't know if this is for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I went along with it and then
did it seem too simple? Was it too too basic? Right? Yeah, I feel that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I didn't want to go down that route. You know, nothing wrong with having a normal job. That's perfectly fine. But, mm-hmm. you know, some people it doesn't work with their skill set and stuff like that. So it didn't work with me. And then so a person from the business department of Cal State Fullerton came in and was showing us how to dress properly, speak properly, write emails mm-hmm. properly, ask for restroom breaks properly.
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, oh, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
And then the one thing that really ticked me off was, or not ticked me off, but rubbed me the wrong way was this lady, I asked her, like, what can I wear during my interview? Like, mm-hmm. I like suits. I had a pinstripe suit at the time.
Yeah. You know, at class too. Yeah.
It's nothing too flashy. Mm-mm. But then I asked, like, hey, Miss So-and-so, can I wear this for my interview or a job? She's mm-hmm. like, no, that's not conservative enough. Keep mm-hmm. it to white and black only.
Yeah.
So that I understand. But then she's telling me to be conservative, but mm-hmm. she has neon blue hair.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful, by the way. You know, hair, by the way. But it's kind of like,
I find that the teaching of that, the conventional wisdom or whatever it is, it's like you kind of got to learn the rules, but I get you. It's like, but you also want to stand out, you know. Of course, you don't want to go crazy, but like pinstripe isn't so crazy, you know. Yeah. And you're showing your personality and your style. Yeah, I know what you mean. It feels like it's getting a little outdated, that kind of stuff. But it's like we're dancing around the word boring, but it's like too samey, or like, I don't know, you don't stick out like that. Or like,
exactly.
Conforming or.
exactly. Conforming.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. she had like the bright blue hair. So that's not very conservative.
Mm-mm.
You know, so I was like, what the, what's going on here?
Not practicing what you preach. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the following week, I was gone.
Yeah. It makes sense. They were kind of trying to teach you like how to follow rules, but you were looking for something where it's like, I want to blaze my own path, it seems like. Or, exactly. You know, yeah. Why we would want to get into business is to start one. But yeah.
Exactly.
We've all had classes that were like, is this for me? I had those. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I'm sure. Everybody has it. But then what did you do with it? You know, are you going to continue to go down that path where,
yeah,
and not take action to blaze your own path, like you said?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you just going to keep on,
yeah,
doing what everybody's telling you to do?
You got to follow that voice in your head.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah. So then was it kind of like you knew once you left that FFS was kind of waiting, or was it still kind of like that it hadn't even really rung the bell yet and there was still like a little time in between?
It hasn't rung the bell yet. I remember mm-hmm. it's like an option for me, like mm-hmm. at the time, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, let's just give this a try. And mm-hmm. I think this was maybe 2021, actually. Yeah, because I remember going back to school after COVID.
That was, of course. I didn't even think about that tumultuous time to be in college anyway. Yeah,
right. I wasn't there. I had no interaction with anybody. Mm-hmm. And I came back to that. So 2021, I left college and I decided, hey, maybe I should give this FFS thing a try, you know, this mm-hmm. insurance thing a try. And I really didn't put in my all.
Yeah.
I was just kind of coasting.
Yeah, kind of tiptoeing at first.
And then until finally maybe like a year or two later, it took a long time for me to really find my footing. I'm blessed enough to have a very close relationship with Mr. Corey Vu. He called me up like super early in the morning, I remember, and he asked me, hey, Twan, are you done? I'm not going to use the actual word, but, you know.
Yeah, I know Corey.
Messing around.
Yeah, exactly.
Messing around with the F one.
Yeah, you know, not podcast appropriate, but it's certainly how he is.
How he is. Yeah, so I was like, okay, I'm done. Let's get serious, and then here we are.
And then, but in the grand scheme of things, everyone I've talked to, a year or two isn't even that long, isn't so long. I know it feels long, but, you know.
It does.
We all find our way somehow, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember my first year, I received my 1099. It was like $7,000, and then my second year my 1099 was $14,000. Like, what?
That's progress. Yeah, count our steps. And so that would have been probably, I'm not counting the years right, but then right around the time I saw you on the Young Guns panel. That was last year only, I guess.
That was last year, yes. That was 2023.
So I guess I like to go into like what challenges you had at first, but like it doesn't even have to be challenges. Maybe it was just kind of like trusting the process or jumping in all the way, or, you know, I was like that after college too. And it just takes a adjustment time or whatever. It's hard to jump.
Yeah.
It's easier to jump right in if you've been in the working world, or like, I don't know, if you're going from another insurance company. I can see why people, that's usually the people who really kick off. But, you know, for us young, it's like takes a little bit to get your gears, your momentum going.
Oh yeah, for sure. Especially when it's like, for me, it felt like jumping onto a treadmill that's already going at 16 miles per hour.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like you're going from a hard standstill to like 16 miles an hour treadmill. You're going to fall.
You're just trying to be like, dude, stand up.
Yeah. Exactly. So what I saw myself was like, I was just looking at the treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking at the treadmill, like, I'm too scared to jump on. Way too scared to jump on. So I guess the biggest challenge was the battle against my own self-doubt.
Absolutely. I know that.
And that's for everybody, every industry. But I think it really hit me because at the time I joined, I was the youngest person in the office.
Something to prove, maybe.
The next youngest person to me was over 10 years older than me. Completely in a different stage of life, kids, wife, everything, into the career already. I just dropped out of college. So I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what to do.
And I'm sure building you as a team member for your upline and leaders, it would have been different than what they'd, you know, been doing at first, you know, with dealing with people 10 years older.
Yes. Yeah, so I do have to give a shout out to my upline, who also happens to be my girlfriend's mom.
Oh, nice.
So going back to the first question, like how I originally found FFS was through my girlfriend's mom. You know, she saw me spending a lot of money on like car stuff. I'm really into cars. You know, so I would spend a lot of my money on there. And then she just told me, hey, come to the training to learn about financial literacy and saving money. Like, okay, whatever. You know, my girlfriend's mom, I have to, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Like I said. So I do have to going back to what you said, like how my uplines and my the leaders around me had to raise me differently because I'm not a full-blown adult. I don't have any experience in anything. They really helped guided me on this path. You know, like they really held my hand all the way through. My upline, Yvonne yeah. Nguyen.
Oh, yeah. She's been on. Yeah.
I remember we would spend like 2 hours, 3 hours sometimes every single night, just me asking her questions. And she would do her best to explain it to me. And I caught a lot of it, but I missed a lot of it as well because it was so new. I didn't understand finance, basic finance.
It makes sense. Yeah. And you're getting a lot of, it's information overload sometimes for as much as we try to space it out. Yeah. It's a lot to take.
So it's like, I always use this analogy. Like if you don't have a good foundation, no matter how grand of a house you build on it, it will fall at some point.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Right. So that's why I felt at that time, everybody else, like her, Yvonne, Corey, Mr. I have to call Uncle Corey, Auntie Victoria. They really held my hand and helped me find my rhythm and explain things where I would understand in a way I would understand.
Absolutely. You know? That's the key to what I find in the most successful agents, not only here, like in any company, any business, any role, is like we all need guidance. No one's just born a genius walking out.
Yeah.
And so it does take a good leadership, which is we're thankful to have, especially over there. Do you remember any particular, and you don't have to, but nuggets of wisdom or anything specific you learned from Corey or Yvonne or like anything that you remember that they emphasized, or maybe like a story of out on the, if they field trained you, is there anything that comes to mind?
I spent a lot of my time with Uncle Corey.
Yeah.
A lot of my time. So I can't pinpoint one single advice. It was, it was more like a combination of experiences with him.
Yeah.
And then I just picked up on his kind of demeanor. I picked up on the way he speaks.
Yeah.
I picked up on the passion that he has for this business.
You were watching him lead by example. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I was watching him very closely. And in turn, he was also watching me very closely. Like 5:30 a.m. calls. Like if he calls, he told me like, if I'm up, you're up.
Yeah.
That was a kind of close relationship that we had.
Yeah, that's exactly the kind of thing I was talking about. Yeah.
So I can't really pinpoint a singular advice that I learned from each and everybody here, Yvonne, my upline Yvonne, Auntie Victoria, Uncle Corey. I cannot pinpoint it because I spent so much time with them that it was eventually going to rub off on me.
That's okay. It's just the whole thing, the whole osmosis. Yeah, that makes sense. But it's so good that they brought you and spent so much time with you because that's what it is too. It doesn't have to be just one nugget. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm very blessed for that because I understand that a lot of agents, they don't have that close relationship with their uplines or even the EFCs or senior executive field chairmen now. I have a very close relationship with them.
Which
I go to their house, they take me out to eat and all that. Like he took me on vacation and everything. So I'm very blessed to have that kind of relationship. So
I'm glad. Yeah. I mean, I like that perspective, hearing the importance of leadership. Have you been able to build much of a team of your own, or can you see yourself implementing the kinds of things that they taught you, like teaching the teacher kind of thing?
Oh yeah. 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 Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So I do have a team of my own right now and we're currently building up. And yes, I have noticed myself implement the teachings that I've learned from everybody else here.
Yeah.
Especially Uncle Corey, the no nonsense kind of style.
Yeah. You know? Have you been calling anyone at 5 a.m.?
5 a.m.? No. 6 a.m. Yes.
A little more reasonable, but it's still early.
Yeah. 5 a.m. Right. But yeah, I do. I'm not as extreme.
We all have different styles.
Yeah. But I do take on like that very hands-on with my team. I'm not there to collect override. I'm not there to, you know, earn RMD points without earning it. You know, I'm not there to collect. I'm very hands-on with my team. Like if they need anything at any time, I'm there. Sundays, Mondays, early, it doesn't matter what time, you know?
Yeah. And that's really all we can ask for. That's right? That's great. That is teaching. That's leading. Just kind of being there. That's the foundation you were talking about. Is presence.
Exactly. So because of that's how I was trained and raised in this business, I try to duplicate it as best as I can for my new teammates and my current teammates. And where I fall short, he fills in for me.
Yeah, that's good.
When I can't be the bad guy, because some of these people are my closest friends.
Of course.
You know, he does it for me, so there's no hard feelings involved there.
Yeah, that's an aspect I haven't really touched on, really. But of course, it's true. Yeah, the tapping in of the teammate, you know, yeah, you just because you've built a team of your own doesn't mean that your upline or other people around can't be tapped in for certain things, because we all have different skill sets, like you said. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Someone's got to be good cop, bad cop kind of thing.
Right. I'm not very good at being bad cop. I feel
mean,
and I don't like feeling mean.
Yeah, I feel that too, yeah. And in reality, it's not being mean, but certain people are better at putting their foot down.
Correct.
I'm the same way. I feel too bad too soon, and then I cave, or, you know, like, it's okay.
Me too. And it comes to bite you later down the line.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it's something that you can, it isn't forever. It doesn't have to be forever. You can find your own way to put your foot down. We all learn. It's a hard thing to
learn. Yeah. That's what I think, too. That's what I firmly believe. Anything that you want, you can get it.
Yeah.
Anything that you want, you can absolutely get it. Only if you really, really do want it and really put in the time to get it.
Exactly. Because it takes patience and time. Wanting gets you. The power of wanting something is getting day after day. Because if you don't really want it, God, you can get tired. You're fighting against getting tired or bored or, I don't know, discouraged. Yeah.
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 Yeah. That goes out to discipline as well.
Mm-hmm.
Something else that was instilled in me by my upline.
Mm-hmm.
My auntie and uncles here,
you
know, like Auntie Victoria, she's here every single day from like 10 to 11 at night, sometimes 12.
I remember hearing that,
Without fail, like she says it on stage, and a lot of people might not believe her, but I see it every single day.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
And she's always there. So mm-hmm.
Burning the midnight oil.
Right? So seeing that, you know, like seeing my people around me with kids, family, and everything mm-hmm. work this hard.
Yeah,
and me being young as I am, blessed as I am, to have this much time and freedom to not really take advantage of it, kind of like is a disrespect to the opportunity that was given to me.
Mm, yeah, gosh, that's true. Yeah, that's a perspective. Watching them lead by example, but also, not taking anything that you've gotten for granted. Or,
exactly.
Yeah. Responsibility. So
it's the biggest disrespect to the people who believe in you. The mm-hmm. biggest disrespect to the sacrifices your parents made for you.
Yeah.
You know, like your parents did not sacrifice everything just for you to play small and play little.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? That's true. That's
so
good.
Same thing for uplines and leaders here. They didn't give up their time to train you, give up their time to have lunch with you and teach you what they know just for you to go around and mess around with
it. Throw it away. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Throw it away.
Yeah. That's a great perspective too. Valuing their time. It just sounds like you got consideration for all around you. That is what makes a good agent, which kind of brings me to, I wonder if you have seen your impact in community yet. I know it sometimes takes a while for some, you know, years sometimes to pay a first death benefit or something, but I wondered if you had any client stories or if you were seeing impact yet, what that was like on the client side for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't seen the death claim yet. None of mm-hmm. those yet, thankfully.
Which, it's a blessing, really. Yeah.
But I'm very grateful to know that when that day comes for whoever I've touched, that I'm able to be there with a check to make sure their family gets through the tough times.
Yeah.
But direct impact right now, I would have to just say the peace of mind that my clients have after they sign their policies. I had this one client. She saw me on TikTok, and she reached out to me. She's in her 40s. Her and her husband, they have three beautiful kids.
Mm-hmm.
They have nothing saved up. At the time, they were relying on one income.
Common story, yeah.
So you know the kind of risk that comes with.
Gosh,
you know, if something happens to the primary wage earner, within a month's time,
mm-hmm.
the family's going to face major, major financial catastrophe. As some people say 6 months. Some people say 8 months. But no way, like 70% of America are living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, yeah.
If that paycheck cuts off, how can you say that it's going to take 6 months for the family to feel financial impact? It's going to immediately, within 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I feel like the 6 months is like one of those averages things, but really it is like it's 1 month or less. You're going to feel it right away, most people.
Yeah, because you're averaging the wealthy people who do have the excess funds.
Exactly.
And that kind of like overweighs like everybody else. 70% of America living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
Struggling every single day.
That's a good point.
After we closed that deal, she just texted me. She pretty much almost broke down to tears is what she told me. That she feels so secure now knowing that if something were to happen to her, that her three kids and her husband and everybody else in the family can move on financially. Because there's when something like that happens, an untimely event like that happens, Jeff, mm-hmm. there's emotional burden, of course.
Yeah.
And then secondly, there's financial burden, which hurts the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they add into each other.
That can affect generations to come. Emotions, you'll cry maybe for a month. You'll cry maybe for 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the financial burden is what really wrecks people.
Yeah.
You know, you cannot deposit tears. You cannot deposit sad feelings. You can only deposit cash. Like the mortgage, right? The bank, they're not going to say, okay, we'll accept three tiers this month. Yeah. And you're good for the following month. You know,
yeah, exactly.
They have to have cash. Texted me, she's like, I feel so secure now knowing that if anything were to happen, my family's good to go. And just thank you so much for that, Tuan.
Yeah.
That was the first time someone really told me that without me asking. Because usually I ask for testimonials, you know, and that's what they say. But this time she just said it like right after she signed. And I, it was a proof in the pudding.
Yeah, absolutely. That is, that's impact, capital I impact, just like anything else. Yeah, that's so nice of her. Yeah. Yeah, and like you said, yeah, the financial impact, that weight is more than just months. That's years and generations it can ring out, yeah.
Imagine right now, 70% of Americans living paycheck to paycheck again. You know, I've already said that three times now in this podcast, but...
Because it's scary.
But people need to understand that. What does that mean? Like, if dad does not come home this week, or if dad cannot work this week, next week we're in big, big trouble. The mortgage is not paid for. The car is not paid for. The water cannot turn on. The electricity cannot turn on. You know, and then from there, people downsize. They lose their cars. They lose this. They have to sell this off. Downsize again. And eventually, some of them find themselves losing their home.
Yeah.
Some of them find themselves losing everything and then becoming homeless.
Yeah.
And then imagine the impact of that on the kids.
Gosh, yeah.
You know, and then the kids' kids, and so on.
It's true.
You know, once you slip into that generational poverty, it's really hard to get out.
Yeah, yeah. It's a steep hole to dig yourself out of. Yeah.
Right. Inflation, you know, just because you slip a little financially, people don't start dropping their prices for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Amazon doesn't have a poverty discount. Walmart does not have that. You have to have the money to survive.
It's a good point. And it is, you say it three times, but that's because it is important to remember. I don't know. Yeah. That's nice that she found you on TikTok too. I mean, I feel like it's like people are often like TikTok, it's a young person's game, but you know, she's older and she was still scrolling. Everyone scrolls, you know?
Yeah. You know, funny thing is, Jeff, the majority of my clients are from social media, TikTok, Instagram, whatever
that's
it is.
Good.
They're all over 40 years old.
It's something that I feel like even I should emphasize more. It's definitely like not so true that it's such a young person's game. Maybe the posting feels like more of a younger millennial Gen Z, like it's easier for that those generations perhaps, but doesn't mean that not every single person with a phone is scrolling, you know, like it's going through TikTok and things.
Everybody has a phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Our biggest clients are from TikTok.
Yeah, exactly. That's nice.
A word of motivation for new agents. So as agents, we kind of run into, you know, of course, setbacks, objections, rejections.
Yeah.
Clients telling you, hey, I don't want to sign this. I don't want to move forward with this. Can I cancel my policy? Or I'm going to go with somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, all setbacks, all objections, all rejections. But I learned this analogy. I saw this on somewhere. When an archer, they pull back the bow, right? The arrow is not getting any closer to the bullseye, right? The target. It's actually getting further away. The more you pull it back.
Yeah.
So when you let it go, then it will shoot forward. So just imagine like all those objections, all the rejections that you've had, that's just life pulling you back, ready to send you forward at lightning speed.
That rocks. That's great. That's a great image. Yeah. Just because you think you're going backwards doesn't mean you're not being like an arrow, you know?
So that's just something for like new agents. Myself at the time, I had a lot of rejections. I had a lot of objections because number one, my age, my face, very young face.
Yep.
I think I would like to think.
Yeah, it is.
You know, so it was hard for older people to trust me to manage their money.
Yeah.
So I lost a lot of deals. I lost a lot of trust in people that I've known for a long time. because I didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Number two, I just don't look the part.
Yeah, a lot of rejections I feel come, especially when you're young. But you keep going. You build the trust. You'll eventually get that first client you help. That's experience, testimonials. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just takes a little time, which is hard, of course. Rejections are hard. But like you said, doesn't mean you're going backwards.
It's just getting ready to launch you into wherever you want to be.
That's almost the most important first skill, is to roll out of rejection, to roll with the punches, to make sure it doesn't affect you. You know, that learning how to not make it affect you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all that stuff is like the objections and rejections.
Mm-hmm.
That's just really a test for you to see where you stand as an agent.
Yeah.
As an entrepreneur. If you fall back and you fail, then that's on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, there's a few clients who just really adamant on not doing this. But
yeah,
most of the time it's like, hey, I don't want to get this. That's a test. It's not a rejection.
Exactly. That's great. It's a trial. Yeah. And sometimes rejection does hurt, but you rub some dirt on it, you know, just take a time, take your breaths. And then there's always the new day tomorrow. The only failure is giving up entirely, for sure.
Uh-huh. At least you would have like some chance of success if you try.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the only way you will get some. Well, I think we've done our job here today. I think you gave us plenty to work with. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, Tuan. And thank you all for listening. To hear more stories from entrepreneurs like Tuan, you can listen through our past episodes on our feed or at firstfinancialsecurity.com. And of course, subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts to listen to new Lead, Empower, Grow episodes the moment they air. We look forward to bringing you new and more stories that inspire you to lead, empower, and grow.